You are listening to the podcast series for Mission to Amish People. Mission to Amish People is a Christian ministry with a threefold purpose of evangelizing and discipling Amish and former Amish, helping Amish people who leave their communities by helping them transition into the English world, and by presenting the ministry to churches nationwide. You can find out more about Mission to Amish People by going to their website at www.mapministry.org. This podcast is entitled Duty and Power of the Church and is part one of three.
Great. Well, I'm excited about this morning's message. To give you a little bit of an idea how excited, I'll have to tell you a little story. I actually have two sermons. I was debating on which one I wanted to preach, but I'm so excited about this subject that it just keeps coming and coming and coming. This one came from the hills of Colorado and Wyoming. Everything, I wasn't even going to tell you this, but I just, like, right before I came up, Lord's like, I need to tell you this. This whole message was typed up by my wife on her phone. Now, we were driving, and she was typing, and I get, like the Lord would give me new stuff, and I'd say, write this down, I'm going to preach this message. She would send it, and I'd say, the Lord's given me more stuff, and we just on and on and on, and it ended up being a whole message, and I had full intentions of preaching this message. And then I got started on this message, and I couldn't get done seeing all this other stuff unfold. It's like the Lord just revealed all this stuff to me. And when he starts giving it to me and opening me up to things in the scriptures that excite me, I got to tell everybody, right? I can't keep it to myself. So Friday I sat there for all day, and I just typed and typed and prayed and looked and came up with this message. And so this is part two. I've already preached this to Esther, the entire message I preached on Thursday morning. She even got excited about the whole thing. Now, here's the subject. It's about the church.
Yes.
You know what? Jesus, we're the bride. You know what happens at weddings, right? Enos and Rachel, not so long ago, we did a wedding out in the middle of the yard. And everybody was watching. Even the music changed when the bride came. And everybody got excited because she came in her splendor, in her beauty. And there was Enos ready to take her. And that's exactly who we are. We're his bride. And it's for that reason, just like I fell in love with this idea of the church. And when I read in, I was going to preach out of Ephesians chapter number, 3? And then it led me back to chapter 2, and it helped me to understand the mystery about the church that had not been revealed up until this point. Even though the world was 4,000 years old, it was still sort of a secret, hidden with God, and even the angels and the powers didn't know about what was going to happen. But all of a sudden, Paul began to write the mystery out, and it was about the church. That's what we're going to talk about today. And so, my love for the church causes me to get excited. And so, this is not even the right title. This belongs to the first message. But maybe if Pastor will let me preach part one, second, I'll preach that message, because I think that we should all belong to a local church. And I'll tell you why. We're an army. Army made up of one person cannot fight nearly as hard as an army that's made up of a bunch of people. And so that's what that is about. So I have a question. Two of them. Does it bother you that 3,500 people are leaving the church every day? Does that bother you? I can't sleep. It bothers me so much. I don't understand it. And I don't just look at them as they're the ones that fail. I have a tendency to look at myself as, Where have I failed, Lord? What could I have done? What could I do better to make this church thing work that began when you were here or in Acts? Did you know I had one of our supporting pastors from Akron, Ohio, came to visit a few months ago. And he said, as of right now, there are 7 church buildings for sale in Akron, Ohio. 7? Really? Isn't that something? The first thing that came to my mind was, okay, at one time in the life of this church building, there must have been excitement and joy, and people dug into their pocketbooks and they came out with thousands of dollars and they put up this building, and today it lays there for sale. Second one is that 80%, does it bother you that 80% of all churches in North America have reached a plateau or are declining? And so I come to my message this morning. I looked at the dictionary, and the dictionary defines the word church as a building for public worship. Now, before you say they're wrong, how many of you said, let's go to the church today? How many of you got up this morning and said, let's go to church this morning, thinking that the church was a building? Let's look at a couple scriptures. Let's look at this one right here. Can a building pray? Let's go to Acts chapter 12. Let's look at a couple scriptures real quick. We're going to look at 4 of them. And then we'll figure out whether the dictionary is correct when it says it is a building for public worship. So we go to Acts chapter 12 and look at verse number 5. This is the story of Peter. I love this story. Peter's in prison. And the church begins to pray. And they were just like us. They really didn't believe it when Peter showed up at the door. I'm glad God put those stories in, because it kind of takes the pressure off of me sometimes. But look at verse number 5. Acts 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Tell me, church, is the church the building or the people? The people. Because a building can't pray, can they? Go with me to the next one. The next one's also in Acts. It's Acts 15, a couple chapters further, in verse number 4. And here's the question: can a building receive and welcome people? They were having a little problem in the church, early church there in Acts, over circumcision. We get to verse number 4, Acts chapter 15, verse 4. And when they, Paul and Barnabas, were come to Jerusalem, they were received by the... Okay, and the church was made up of apostles, elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And so the question is, can a building receive and welcome people? Another question, can a building be persecuted? We know the answer, but let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The apostle Paul, who is probably used of God more than any other human being on the face of the earth besides Jesus Christ, first became a persecutor of the church before his life was changed forever. And God has used his writings for 2,000 years to lead men and women and children to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and their lives were changed forever. Can the building be persecuted? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, Paul wrote, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the building of God. Is that what it says? The church. One more. Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. The church at Thyatira. Jesus is speaking to this church. Gets a little ugly at the very beginning of the scripture. It says, Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, Jesus himself says, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. So, the next time you hear someone or you hear yourself saying, I'm going to go to the church, it would be better to say it this way. I'm going to go to the church building. Because when we leave here in an hour from now, this building will be just like any other building downtown Ashland. There's nothing holy about this building. I know it used to be that God lived in the temple, but he doesn't live there anymore. He lives in us. And when we leave, this building is just a structure. That's it. And so, let's know who the church is. And yet, church, there's some sense in which the church, us, we're a building. Because listen to this in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus was sitting there with his disciples. And they were talking about, who do the people say that I am and who do you say that I am? And Peter gave a good answer. Jesus patted him on the back. And then he says in verse 18, and I say unto thee. Jesus is speaking to Peter and the others. He says to Peter directly, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I, Jesus, will build my church. This church doesn't belong to the pastor. Even though we love him, even though he has led well for over 30 years, the church does not belong to Pastor John Bouquet or any other pastor in the world. The church belongs to Jesus. He's the one that built it. And I got to make a confession right now about how badly, in my passion, in my passion to see people's lives changed, I get in the way of Jesus and his building sometimes. And over the years, looking back, I realized that my passion drove me to step in Jesus' position and try to build the church on my own. I will tell you, it is a miserable position to be in. It's a miserable position to be in. I have no doubt in my mind, I believe that with all my heart, that some are here today because I finally got tired of the misery and I stepped out of Jesus' position and I waited on Jesus to build the church. And when I did that, he began to bring people that I could not have brought on my own. Jesus is the builder of the church. And if you could think of the greatest, most powerful thing that was ever created, it isn't the locomotive. It's the forces of hell. That is what Jesus took, and he said, even hell will not prevail. The church. And we're going to talk about why that is. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It's on your screen. And yet there's a sense in which the church is a building. Listen to these words. Paul writes, now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household. There's a building word. You see that? the household of God. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. We make up the building, Mary. We're the building. See that picture there right there of those people? We're the building. God lives in our building. We're made of human flesh. But together, we have this frame that comes around, and Jesus, God lives in it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. What it's saying is, those lively stones are eternal stones. Let me show you a picture. I purposely put names on those blocks. Those are the people that are a part of the body of Bethel Baptist Church. You might not be on there because you have a long name. My blocks were only this long. I almost couldn't find enough short names to put everybody on there. But we're being built up into this building, building. Look at the verse here. And I like what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members suffer or rejoice with it. So you see, some of you guys that are in the midst down one of the blocks, build on this foundation, Jesus being the cornerstone. You're going through a very, very hard time in your life. And the rest of us blocks or stones, we just kind of come around you and we encourage you and we pray for you. We comfort you. We challenge you to keep on and not give up. That's our job. Now, what if one of these blocks says, I don't feel like being part of this big story that Jesus came up with? I'm going to just sit at home and I'm not going to be part. I'm not going to participate. Let me tell you, you hurt and we hurt. If God led you here, and I know there's the universal church, and then there's the local church. The local church is made up of people that we can touch and see and smell. But the universal church is invisible. It's scattered all over this world. We prayed this morning for the invisible church in other countries and nations. But they're just as much a part of this building as anybody. But there's something about the local church that you don't get from the invisible universal church.
Thank you for listening to this podcast series. Check out Mission to Amish People online at www.mapministry.org or keep up to date with us on Facebook and Google+. Thank you again and have a blessed day.